A call to order the Ways and Means Committee hearing. We don't quite have a quorum, but we're going to try and move pretty rapidly today. The DFL has a caucus in this room at 4:30, so if we aren't able to complete our agenda by then, we will then need to recess and reconvene at approximately 6:30 or 7 this evening. For those of you that are in the audience for Representative Murray's bill, House File 1063, that's being removed from the agenda today. And with that, Representative McDonald, I believe, is in the room. We will start with his bill. We'll let you know as soon as we have a quorum to officially move your bill. Welcome to the committee, Representative McDonald.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
If you'd like to explain your bill to the committee, please.
Oh, yes. Very good. Well, committee members and Madam Chairman, thank you for seeing my bill today. My bill is regarding e-charging. And what this does is it's electronic transmission of data and documents between law enforcement, prosecutors, and courts. So if you can imagine right now some of the bills that we're developing, some of the omnibus bills, the reams of paper that we go through it is immense. What this bill will do is save millions of dollars to counties and states and cities all over the state of Minnesota. There are four charging components to this bill. There's criminal complaints, incidents, citations, and DWI forms. What e-charging does is it eliminates paper, which saves trees, redundant data entry, errors caused by multiple data entry points, and the use of paper and use of officer time to transport charging documents for signature and filing. This was enabled legislation to authorize e-passing in 2008, and pilots were completed in St. Louis, Kandy, Ohio, Carver, and Olmsted counties in 2009. E-charging deployed in 21 counties out of 87 as of March 1st, 2011. So statewide implementation of this is expected to be complete in 2014. I was born and raised in Carver County, Watertown, Carver County. And Carver County conducted a cost study of this, and it expected to save approximately $500,000 in 5 years from e-charging.
All right, so on that really good note, I'm going to officially call to order the Ways and Means Committee hearing. We have a quorum. Mr. Smith will note the roll. I would like to entertain a motion for approval of the minutes from May 9th. Representative Garofalo moves the minutes. Are there any questions or additions on the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor of the May 9th amendment minutes as distributed, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. I will now move House File 1270 for consideration by the committee. Representative McDonald, if you'd like to wrap up, and if your witness would like to add anything, we can do that and move your bill along.
Very good. I will wrap up. I ask you to support this great bill. It saves time, and it uses government efficiently and effectively. I do have a witness here, a friend, Katie Angler, with the Public Safety Department of Public Safety, so if you have any questions, she'd be free to answer.
All right, great. Are there any questions for Representative McDonald? Representative House.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative McDonald, how many jobs do you think this will, I'm not going to ask create, but get rid of in northern Minnesota for logging?
Well, thank you, Representative House.
McDonald.
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I'm glad you asked that question. This will probably make the jobs even more effectively and efficiently in putting police back on the streets instead of in a car driving from one city to the other. So we anticipate not that many jobs lost.
Representative House, would you like to try again?
Madam Chair, I'm going to leave it alone.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions for Representative McDonald or his witness? Seeing none, I will renew my motion that House File 1270 be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion's adopted. Thank you, Representative McDonald.
No closing statements?
Nope.
I'll send them to you electronically.
Thank you. Representative Cornish, I'll move House File 955 to be considered by the committee, if you'd like to explain your bill.
Madam Chair and members, House File 955 is a
Currently, right now, the Department of Corrections maintains their website, and also the BCA does also for sex offender. The DOC, what we're planning here is to take the duties from the DOC as far as a level three sex offenders and move that to the BCA, to their website, where they have the non-compliant sex offenders. I think it's the best interest of the public and consolidate, put all this on one website and move it from the DOC just to level three onto the BCA website. And it's kind of moving in the direction of the Adam Walsh Act, where we believe that sooner or later we're going to be requested to put all the sex offenders on the website. And I think this is the first move in that direction. There is a fiscal note for the additional work that the BCA feels that they'll have to do in that division. They would like another FTE, so I think it's about $100,000. And so that would be for the extra help to maintain this website. When we presented this in the last committee, the DOC didn't oppose it. At least nobody was there to oppose it. And the BCA, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but told me a couple of days ago in conference committee that if they had the proper resources, they could accomplish this task with no risk to the public. So that's the bill.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions for Representative Cornish? Representative Gunther.
One quick question. In our community, every time there's a level three sex offender that moves in, they publish it in the newspapers and they let the people in the neighborhood know about it. Does this preclude that from happening because they're going to put it in some website somewhere?
Representative Cornish.
Madam Chair and Representative Gunther, no. Those notifications, all warnings and notifications would continue to be held just like they are now.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Representative Slawick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Cornish, I've been to the BCA, and I thought they already had the website. I mean, they can show you your neighborhood and where the nearest level three sex offender is and all those types of things. So I thought it was already there.
Representative Cornish.
Madam Chair, Representative Slawick, that's correct. What this would do would take the duties of the Department of Corrections level three and add it to the website, getting rid of the website that the DOC maintains and put it all to the BCA. The BCA currently has a website for non-compliant offenders, and this would add level three to the BCA. So you're correct. They do have one. This would just add to their duties, therefore the need for the extra FTE.
Thank you. Any additional questions for Representative Cornish? I'm sorry, Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, the question is to you. Can you inform the committee where this money is coming from?
Representative Biskins, there is not an appropriation in this bill. And so I'm understanding, and maybe we should let Representative Cornish speak to the committee on his intent for this language and this policy.
Madam Chair, Representative Biskins, that remains to be found yet, and we're going to reconcile this fiscal note and take care of that, hopefully, in either the this bill or current ongoing bills.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Where does this bill go to from here?
It's going to the House floor.
And the fiscal note isn't... is not been determined yet?
No, Representative Anderson, there is a fiscal note on the bill. There is not an appropriation in the bill. And so at this point, my understanding is that this policy is going to be considered as a part of the omnibus public safety bill as far as being paid for. Representative Carlson. So,
Madam Chair, being that we do have a fiscal note, then are you saying we're not booking it as part of the other bills for the bottom line?
Representative Carlson, there's not an appropriation in this bill.
But we do have a fiscal note.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so I'm just asking how... I understand when there's not an appropriation in the bill, but... it's still going through finance, and we have a fiscal note that determines there's a cost. So I guess what I'm asking, are we booking it or not booking it? It's not a huge cost, but there are other miscellaneous bills coming through. So if they're coming through without a fiscal note, we should, in my view, either be booking them or the assumption might be that the... agency's taking it out of Hyde then if there's no appropriation and nothing is done in the future. And I know Representative Cornish indicated that I think you said no one showed up at the the hearing from the department.
Well, and Representative Carlson, in the context of the Judiciary Conference Committee, they have both corrections and the public safety, and so one might be able to reconcile the fact that they're removing a requirement from the Department of Corrections and transferring it to the BCA. And so it's my understanding that it's the bill author's intent to make sure that before this moves forward towards signature that the necessary money would be there.
And Madam Chair, I understand that's an option, but as it leaves here, and I guess I'm asking the question in a broader sense, because if other bills start coming through and we're not booking them on the bottom line, what are we doing? This one isn't a big amount, but it's more the principle of how we're booking things on the bottom line. And, you know, historically, quite frankly, if a bill went through and there wasn't an appropriation, then the assumption was that the agency would handle that within the agency's overall appropriation. But we're hearing that there's a little different scenario here, and I'm just curious how we're going to handle other bills, that because I know you've got a meeting scheduled for Friday, and we don't at this point know what the agenda is, but we did have a category of other bills. Originally it was, I think, after we adjusted the budget resolution, about $30 million. Since then, the voter ID bill went through, and I think that was booked at 3.5. I think it's just important we kind of watch the bottom line. Otherwise, we could pass all kinds of bills and say we're not going to book them. We're just going to take care of them in conference committee. I mean, somebody's got to keep an eye on the bottom line.
Certainly, Representative Carlson and I agree with that. Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Cornish, is this language in either the House or the Senate omnibus bills?
Representative Cornish.
Let's see. Right now, no, Madam Chair and Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any additional questions? Comments? If not, I will renew my motion that House File 955 be recommended pass and referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Representative Cornish. Representative Smith. Welcome to the committee, Representative Smith, if you'd like to move your bill.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move House File 1023 be recommended to pass.
Thank you. If you'd like to explain your bill to the committee, please.
Madam Chair, thank you, and members. House File 1023 is the Judiciary Omnibus Policy Bill. Article 1 is mainly language brought to the committee by the courts in the form of House File 440. As introduced, some of these provisions were included in House File 440 as passed by the Judiciary Committee in the form of our finance bill and amended in the Senate File 958. Additionally, Article 1 includes House File 465, which helps protect Safe at Home program participants' physical location through discovery. It includes House File 876, which shields certain juvenile hearings from the public, and House File 473, which is recommended language from Minnesota Bar Association on spousal maintenance calculations. Going forward, Articles 2 through 7 have been heard and recommended by the Minnesota Bar Association. Article 2 is Representative Portman's bill, House File 1573, relating to will and trust construction. Article 3 is Representative Mazerul's bill, 951, House File, regarding the Uniform Disclaimer of Property Interests Act. Article 4, Representative Mazerul's bill, 952, regarding protected persons and wards. Article 5 is Representative Hoppe's, already passed by the House, regarding receiverships. Article 6 is also from that bill, relating to assignments for the benefit of creditors. Article 7 is from that bill as well, making conforming changes in statute. Article 8 is a bill by Representative Champion for notification of voting rights restoration for felons completing the discharge of a felony sentence and notification of the loss of voting rights for felons. The measures in this bill, Madam Chair, impacting state spending include Article 1, Section 2. It provides clarity in the law regarding the placement of the front license plate on vehicles, and it's anticipated to save the courts $13,800 per year. And in Article 1, Section 3, it provides a process for administrative dismissal for lacking auto insurance, similar to the current process for dismissing a citation for failing to show proof of insurance. In both cases, the driver is still required to be insured at the time of the stop, and it's anticipated to save the court $62,100 a year, with a total savings of those two items at $76,000 per year. In closing, these same provisions are included in Senate File 958, the Judiciary Public Safety Finance Bill, and thus these savings are already booked, but are included here again if that language were not included in the final conference committee report.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Representative Kahn.
Madam Chairman, Representative Smith, how much would we save if we only had one license plate?
Representative Smith.
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, I don't know.
Oh. Representative Kahn, I can probably wade in a little bit here. It's actually a fee-based program, and so the taxpayers may save the money. I don't know what the dollar amount is in this day, but it wouldn't be any savings that we could book to the state.
Okay.
Unless, of course, you wanted to overcharge the drivers and take the savings, which, of course, isn't unheard of around here either.
Having just changed my plates, there's a certain convenience to only changing one plate, which I would have been willing to pay for.
Second.
So, right. So
any other?
I just think that people who are trying to save every bit of money for the state would have looked at that when this issue came before. I'm not on the committee, so I just thought I'd ask.
Well, thank you, Representative Kahn. And for those of you that weren't here at the beginning of the meeting, we have the room till 4:30. If we don't complete our agenda, we'll be back at 6:30 or 7. Representative Beard.
To the license plate question, it was asked in transportation policy. Because many of us know that there are states where there is only one license plate, seems to work just fine, but public safety was pretty emphatic. They liked the idea of two license plates, so they get you coming and going, I guess.
Exactly. There is an A1 amendment in the packet. We've been informed that was provided to us by Representative Simon and that he did not want the amendment offered in committee.
Oh, he does not?
That's what we were told. So, Representative Smith, we have no amendments to be considered on your bill. I don't believe there's any other questions or comments if you'd like to renew your motion.
Madam Chair, yes, I move that House File 1023 be recommended to pass.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Smith.
Thank you.
Is Representative Drazkowski in the room? Members, I will move House File 1088 to be considered by the committee, and it's my understanding there's an A5 amendment. Representative Drazkowski, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and members, House File 1088 is largely it's an agency bill with one amendment that I placed on it, but it's adjustments to Chapter 12A, which Representative Pawlowski took a lot of leadership on in 2008, which guides the disaster process out in the counties after disaster bills are written. Madam Chair, would you like me to talk about the amendment or go through all the aspects of the bill? But members, this is really a multi-agency related bill, but the relationship here, of course, is Chapter 12A and the disaster relief components of it. But, Madam Chair, Ms. Idy from Homeland Security Emergency Management is here to talk about each item in the bill, if you like. Otherwise, Mr. Lacasmo is here from DNR to talk about the amendment specifically.
Representative Drazkowski, we're looking at this amendment, and we don't want to turn your bill into a bonding bill. And so we're not quite sure. Why don't you tell us what the amendment is and what you're trying to do with it? I'll move House File A5 for consideration.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members, what we're trying to do with the A5 amendment is limit the scope of Section 7 of the bill so that it only applies to the disaster bill from October of 2007. Otherwise, the way the language is written in Section 7, it would apply to the carrying out of that section of disaster bills from this point forward, as well as the 2007 bill. So the amendment is an attempt, Madam Chair, to limit the scope of Section 7 to only the 2010 bill.
Representative Drazkowski, what I'd like to do at this time is move, we're going to divide your amendment, and we're going to move that part that we don't have concerns with at this time, and that would be, I will move line 1.2 of the amendment. That looks to be fine and dandy. So, and that, again, is going back to current law. In that section, are there any questions on line 2 of the amendment?
Madam Chair, could we hear from the department?
Mr. Locuswell, welcome to the committee. If you'd like to state your name for the record and let us know about the first part of the amendment before us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Kent Locuswell, Director of Capital Investment for DNR. The first part of that amendment just goes back to current law. What was being attempted to accomplish here was to have the flood hazard mitigation grants that are funded through a disaster appropriation be available for both the state and local share. Historically, what's happened with these appropriations for a disaster, the department has funded part of a city project, and other agencies have funded the cities for various parts of the project. What's happening this year is these bills, the disaster bills, provide for the transfer of funds between agencies if there's excess money in one appropriation. So we've had a significant amount of dollars transferred to us historically. 2007 Southeast Flood, I believe there was about $6.2 million transferred to DNR because we were underfunded in our areas of the bill, and there were other areas that were overfunded. So this allows for the application of those funds to make the cities whole.
All right, thank you. Representative House.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Locksmull, you brought to the Capital Investment Committee a couple of days ago some language changes that allowed you to move money to different places. Why didn't you bring this to us in the last couple of days?
Mr. Chairman, Representative House, I wasn't looking at this at that time as a bonding appropriation. What we were concerned about, and this is the second part of the amendment, if you're ready to go there, Madam Chair.
We're not quite ready to go there, but Representative House, we may not be able to go to the second part of the amendment, basically. But my opinion is if this is actually bonding stuff, we'll probably send your bill back to capital investment. So you're going to have to...
Madam Chair,
we're trying to figure out if this was appropriation was part of a bonding bill or not when it was originally enacted.
Madam Chair...
Representative Drazkowski.
Mr. Lockesmo's got it, what appears to be a simple fix, if you'd entertain that.
Okay, Mr. Lockesmo.
I guess I...
On the... second part of the amendment, what really we were concerned about was the ability for the department to use the general fund transfers to the agencies for local match. So I believe you could, on line 1.17, delete appropriations under, and on line 1.18, delete this subdivision or...
I'm hearing that that's not going to get us where you want to go. So what I'd like...
Well. He was almost done, Madam Chair.
Ms. Novak.
Yes. Mr. Chair, or Madam Chair and members, any amendment to the appropriation, to a bond appropriation, has been interpreted as turning it into a bonding bill, and so the bill that it would be attached to would have to pass by the supermajority required for bonding bills. I believe there is a way to fix this so that it doesn't turn it into a bonding bill, but it can't be by amending this section of law.
All right, thank you. So, Representative Drazkowski, here's your choices. We can move on line 1.2 of your amendment. I don't see any big opposition to that. Mm-hmm. Then you have a choice. You can either get your bill laid on the table to try and figure out a different route, or you can move the bill without the second half of the amendment to the floor. Representative Drazkowski, your pleasure.
Madam Chair, thank you. I'd opt for the latter of the two if that works for you, Madam Chair.
So you want to be laid over?
No, to move it to the floor with the change.
All right.
To
members, does anybody have any questions on line 1.2 of the A5 amendment before the committee? Representative Biskins. All those in favor of line 1.2 of the A5 amendments, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Representative Drazkowski, that's all the amending we're going to do on Ways and Means today. If you'd like to move out at this point, otherwise I'm going to table your bill.
That's all I have for proposals for
any
you.
Any questions on the bill as amended? Seeing none, I will renew my motion that House File 1088 as amended be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Representative Erdahl, you would come to the stand. Representative Gunther, being on the committee, has said he'd be happy to hold his bill till after the Erdahl bill. Welcome to the committee, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
And I will move House File 1061 for consideration by the committee. And I see here you have an A2 amendment.
Yes.
I'm sorry, A62. All right.
Thank you. I do have an oral amendment to the amendment.
All right. Representative Erdahl, would you state what you would like the oral amendment to be, and I will move that on your behalf.
Delete lines 1.5, 1.6, 1.7. It was a misunderstanding as we were reaching agreement on this.
And Representative Erdahl, as I understand, there's been some discussion around the distribution of this money, et cetera. Can you explain to the committee what the net effect of this oral amendment would be?
In the Parks and Trails portion of the bill, the way it is now, it is you have the DNR, the Met Council, and a grant program. The division of money within that is 40% DNR, 40% Met Council, and 20% for the grant program. This makes a change. The first year it will be 41-41-18. There's a LaSalle Lake provision which will come off the top of that at the same percentage, 41-41-18, of the $2.1 million. And then the second year of the biennium, it goes back to 40-40-20 with the 20% open to the whole state of Minnesota for grants. And that is the agreement that we have fashioned in discussions with various park personnel, and I do have a gentleman here who would speak to that.
Thank you. Is there anybody on the committee that has questions on deleting lines 5 through 7 of the A62 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the Representative Wagenius.
I do have a question or comment on the amendment itself, if that would be in order, Madam Chair.
If I might, can we delete this section and then go to the amendment yes. as amended? All those in favor of deleting lines 5 through 7 of the A62 amendment, state aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay, we now have the amendment as amended in front of us. Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I understand that people have been negotiating and wanting to change this language around. But on behalf of my constituents, I'll say that this is a little teeny bit better than it was, but it's not very good. And here's what I would just remind members, that 55% of the population of Minnesota lives in the metropolitan area. The use of the parks in the metropolitan area is significantly high, and we've seen that throughout the environment committees. 64% of the money is raised in the metropolitan area. So to reduce the amount of money from 2 years ago, which wasn't great then, I think is simply not balanced. And our statute calls for balance. And while I'm going to vote for the amendment because it's slightly better, I would have to say on behalf of my constituents that's certainly not good enough.
Thank you, Representative Wagenius. Are there any other questions on the A62 amendment as amended? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Didn't either.
Now, members, does anybody have any questions for Representative Ertl on the bill as amended? Representative Wagenius.
My basic question, Madam Chair, is probably for you, and it is because this is a constitutional amendment, and because this Constitution specifically says that you cannot use this money to supplant or substitute for current funding, I find it difficult to have this go through Ways and Means before we see the Conference Committee reports on the Environment and Natural Resources Bill.
I'm sorry.
I just don't think we can make a determination in this committee whether supplanting is going on. I think that it's just premature.
All right, thank you. Representative Ertl.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I certainly appreciate Representative Wagenius's comments. The way sessions go sometimes, we very well could run out of time before this comes up and have a special session just for the legacy bill, which I don't think anyone really intends. And secondly, there's nothing in this bill, we do not intentionally say anywhere. In fact, we say specifically that this money shall not be used to supplant. Therefore, you know, on its face, the bill doesn't do that. If it's happening, it's in some other bill, and we're not dealing with those other bills. We're dealing with this bill today, and this bill says don't supplant.
All right. Any other questions? Representative Wagenius.
I just would note that while the bill may say don't supplant, until we've seen the Environment Natural Resources Conference Committee report, we don't know whether it supplants or not.
All right. I saw a hand over here. No, I didn't. Okay. I'm sorry. Representative Breinhardt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Ertl, would you speak to the change in the allocations for the Arts and Cultural Heritage Funds in terms of the grant process and how that will proceed? I don't know if Representative Ertl. I'll wait a minute.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Representative Breinhardt, would you repeat that again?
Yes,
Breinhardt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Ertl, I wondered if you would just briefly speak to the change in the process with the Arts and Cultural Heritage funding. Initially, there were specific allocations in the bill, and it's been switched to a grant process. I'd like you to speak to that grant process.
Sure.
Representative Ertl.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Breinhardt. We had originally had line items and direct appropriations for a fair share of the arts, history, culture part of the bill. In retrospect, I looked at it and decided this. For 1 year of the arts, history, culture portion, there's roughly $51 million available. In the bill already, there were approximately $31 million in competitive grants. The State Historical Society, the State Arts Board, were already in that category. And frankly, I thought earlier this session that that might be the way to go, and then I reconsidered, and then I argued with myself and went back the other way. But I think the competitive grants is the right way to go long term with this. We had $11 million, basically, or approximately, in projects that were not in the competitive grants but were in arts, history, culture. So I simply recommended moving them into the competitive arts program. And what we did is we took the various line items that had been approved, most of them, and put them into, again, competitive grant programs under different groups. For example, the Humanities Center received the museums, the children's museums, also the Councils of Color, the language immersion programs. The money for all of those that had been line items all went to the Humanities Center. So now these folks are available, or these grants are available for these entities to apply for. And I did that with other groups as well. And, in conference committee there may be some adjustments to that, but the intention is not to eliminate any of those or to cut any of the funding for any of those that were transferred. I just think long-term is a better way to do it.
Representative Reinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, thank you, Representative Ertl. That helps clarify for me. Now, am I understanding correctly that the Humanities Center will oversee the grant process for those specific grant areas?
Madam Chair, Representative Reinhart, yes, they will. And we also instituted criteria for that. We are talking to them about their grant-making process. In fact, I talked with Mr. O'Fallon this week about that.
Representative House.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Riddle, kind of a follow-up to what you just talked about. Does this change or broaden the scope of who can apply for the grants? Is there some definitive way that someone is eligible to do this grant process? Or if this is for the arts, if I'm understanding correctly, can television station from Wilmer apply? Can one from South Dakota apply? Can a bar and grill that has a music band on Saturday night apply?
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative House, in some respects, it may open it up a little bit, but the criteria is fairly specific. In, I think, an area that you are interested in, which is public broadcasting. Under the Department of Administration, we now have the public broadcasting grant program, and I forget the statute, but there's a statute that applies to them, and basically three entities are qualified for that.
Madam Chair, just one quick follow-up.
Representative House.
My public TV station in Brainerd and Bemidji, do they support what you're doing?
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative House. I don't see Mr. Straczynski around here, but the lobbyist who works for TPT does.
Okay.
All right. Any additional questions? Members, I believe Representative Kahn has an amendment. Representative Kahn, do you want to offer your amendment at this point? I think it's being passed out by the pages. I can't find mine here, so.
Oh, okay.
Madam
Chairman, this is the A64 amendment. It has to do with the appropriation to the LIDARS project in DNR. As I understand it from David Arbright, who's the head of MnGeo, this is purely technical. This was what always was intended, that they need to collect the data, but they couldn't do the integration until later. So it just corrects something from the last year.
Madam Chair, I would accept that.
Erdahl.
I would accept that.
Representative Erdahl supports this A64 amendment. Are there any questions for Representative Kahn on the A64 amendment? Do all members have the amendment? Let me wait a moment here.
I'm trying to find my email that sent it to me in case someone has any questions about it. But I think what I said is correct, that this was always what was intended. It took a while to gather the data, and then they needed to work on it to integrate.
Representative McNamara.
Well, Madam Chair, and especially for Representative Westrum, this is technical. There was a mistake before, and it is okay.
Right, and members, it did not meet our 9 a.m. deadline, but it's pretty technical, and as long as there's no opposition, I'm hoping the committee will support Representative Kahn's amendment here today. Any questions on the A64 amendment? Representative Kahn, would you like to renew your motion? All those in favor of the A64 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those nay. Motion prevails. Representative Erdahl, I don't have any more amendments. I don't have anybody else on my list. Oops, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Erdahl,
how much money is being allocated to the DNR that goes to the Nature Conservancy?
Representative
Anderson, I would have to look through this bill to find that particular question. It would take, you know, I can get you that answer, but I don't know that unless Representative, maybe Mr. Becker or someone else would have that answer here. I don't know. Do you, Representative McNamara?
What?
Representative McNamara?
Mr. Becker?
Madam Chair, I'd have to look it up, but Mr. Becker will be able to bring it right up.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Becker. If you'll state your name for the record, please, and if you can, answer Representative Anderson's question.
Madam Chair, I am Bill Becker. I'm the Executive Director of the Lasard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council. The Nature Conservancy appears two places in the bill. One on page 4.7, they're appropriated $1.72 million area acquisition. And 4.22, they're appropriated $4.5 million for prairie recovery.
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, then, is this money used for acquiring land?
Mr. Becker.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, yes.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Seeing none, I'll renew my motion that House File 1061, as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion's approved. Thank you, Representative Erdahl. All right, Representative Gunther, I have three of your bills here on the agenda. I don't know if you have any preference as to what order you would like to take them in. All right, we'll start with House File 611.
Madam Speaker and members, I move House File 611 to pass and be sent to the General Register.
All right. Thank you, Representative Gunther.
House File 611 is a bill that, due to the 2008 financial collapse resulting in tightening of credit markets, allows this consortium of bankers and lenders to be able to lend money to small businesses, that being less than 500 employees, the amount of $1.5 million max, so that they can continue to operate. At my hometown, there was a business that had a SBA loan that guaranteed 80%, and when the man went into the bank to get this loan renewed and get an advance on it, they would not allow him to do it, even with an 80% SBA loan guarantee.
Oh, no.
So this is a very critical problem for small businesses, and this is a bill that's greatly lacking and needed. So with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
And Representative Gunther, I believe there's an A2 amendment in our packets on this bill that Ms. Novak drafted, and Mr. Marks will be able to speak to the committee.
Madam Chair, members, this was
On page 3, line 16, or in subdivision 4, a loan guarantee trust fund is established. This was simply to place it in the special revenue fund of the state's account so that it, so the law actually says what fund it's in.
Thank you very much. I do remember this now, and it's something very necessary. There's no general fund money spent in this bill. However, there's special revenue fund.
Thank you. Representative Gunther moves the A2 amendment. Are there any questions? Representative Carlson?
I mine's on the bill.
All right. Any questions on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. A2 amendment is adopted. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, this is the second bill now today then that has a fiscal note and no appropriation in the bill.
Representative Gunther.
Madam Chairman, Representative Carlson, it is not a general fund fiscal note. It's a special revenue fund fiscal note, and it has no bearing on the general fund whatsoever.
Okay. That answers the question then. Yeah, right, thank you.
And that A2 amendment clarified that. It was just, it's kind of unusual. You'll see on the fiscal note they're calling it new fund, and I think with the A2 amendment we can now call it a special revenue fund on the next fiscal note instead of a new fund.
Okay. But at any rate, yeah, that as long as it's not what we're tracking is the general funds.
Exactly. Yeah, any questions on House File 611 as amended? Seeing none, Representative Gunther.
Renew my motion to have House File 611 pass and be sent to the General Register.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Gunther.
Thank you.
Next up.
House File 1396.
Okay, members, House File 1396 is actually a Senate file.
A Senate file, okay.
And so I don't know if we have copies of the Senate file available for review up at the front desk. So, members, if you'd like to review the language in the Senate file, let the pages know, they will bring you a copy. Otherwise, the first motion that we would need by Representative Gunther would be to amend Senate File 1130, the first engrossment, to be recommended to pass to the General Register.
Yes.
So moved. And then the next thing is you have to move to insert the language of House File 1396, the first engrossment, into Senate File 1130.
Thank you.
Representative Gunther so moves. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. We now have the language for House File 1396 amended onto Senate File 1130. And I don't see any amendments. Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members. This is the UI bill, and it saves employers $20 million in 2012, Article 1, Section 5. It simplifies the initial qualifying requirements for the UI benefits, Article 1, Section 6, and it treats personal time off pay, paid at layoff, the same as vacation pay at the time of layoff. So it simplifies that and simplifies and requalifies requirements to collect UI benefits after quitting Article 1, Section 9. And finally, it adds to the definition of dislocated workers an individual covered under the Federal Trade Adjustment Act, workers laid off due to imports, Article 3, Section 1. So with that, we'll be glad to try to answer any questions you have. I have the expert with me if I need him.
All right, thank you. Members, are there any questions on Senate File 1130 as amended? Which we amended House File 1396 onto. Seeing none, Representative Gunther, would you like to renew your motion that Senate File 1130 as amended be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register?
Yes, ma'am. Madam Chairman, I would like to do that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Could one of the pages seek out Representative Anderson, as she is the last item on our agenda?
You want me to wait for the next one?
We have one more bill of yours. House File 1170.
Yes. Madam Chair and members, this is a bill that came from the Advisory Task Force for the Employee Misclassification proposal, and it certainly is something that we have seemed to have to do about every year in one form or another. I have an amendment, Madam Chairman, the A1 amendment. This is due to the last bill. We're trying to repeal a 2% withhold from contractors from outside of the state. And we send the money to the Department of Revenue. We find that this is a very cumbersome process, and we would like to get that thing eliminated to streamline the process. And I move H1170A1 amendment.
All right. Representative Gunther moves the A1 amendment. I'm curious if you know if the A1 amendment then changes the fiscal note on this bill, given that you're not no longer collecting this withholding.
Madam Chairman, I have a note from the Minnesota Revenue Department that says it doesn't have any.
It's related to the A1 amendment?
Related to the A1 amendment.
All right. Representative Biskins.
Madam Chair, do you have a fiscal note on this bill? Because I don't.
It should be in your packet. I have one here. If you'd like. No.
The 2% amendment is on construction contracts.
I guess we don't. I don't need. There we go.
You know, Representative Gunther, we're not sure about the effects of the A1 amendment, and we are going to meet on Friday. Would it give you major heartburn if we hold this over till Friday and sort this out rather than waste committee time right now trying to do that?
Madam Chair, I withdraw the A1 amendment.
Representative Gunther, I'm going to lay this on the table. If there's questions on the bill or things we need to find out before Friday, let's do that while we're waiting for Representative Anderson to come. Representative Wincheski.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, you know, this provision does not belong in here, and it should be removed, and then the bill could go along. It's the tax provision again. I wish the tax chair was here, and I know that everybody's busy and is in multiple places, and so it's not a criticism. But, members, this amends Chapter 290, which is the income and franchise tax article, has no business being in this bill whatsoever. I just asked the page to send out some information, and Madam Chair, if I could just ask the page to send out what I brought. I came in and I didn't know this was going to be an amendment, but if there's a page who could hand this out, this provision is a bill that Chair Runbeck carried. She had a full hearing in taxes, and the tax chair chose not to include it in the omnibus tax bill, which is where it would belong if the tax chair felt we should do this tax provision. This is a withholding tax provision. But, Madam Chair, I do want to talk about it just for a sec. I know you're moving on and waiting for Representative Anderson to walk in the room, but this is fully a tax item, and I want to tell you something, but unfortunately the page is copying it. On the floor, there was a discussion earlier this year that you were involved in that said this is an example of something that everybody thought would raise all this money, and it didn't raise all this money. And I think what people are confusing is the testimony of the advocates said it would raise all this money, but the fiscal note did not. The fiscal note said this provision that is now being attempted to be repealed would raise $1 million a year. I did not fall for the testimony of the folks who said this will raise gazillions of dollars, and I booked $1 million. $1 million. And people have said this was the $200 million provision that, you know, we all got fooled on. Nope.
And so that's being copied. You can see in the omnibus tax bill, we did pass this. We put $1 million in for it, and it didn't bring in $1 million. So that part's right. It brought in, I think, about a third of that. And I think if the chair of the tax committee wants to repeal this provision, the place to do that is in the tax committee. I will tell you that I think the advocates, both for and against, and maybe if this could just get passed out, this is the original fiscal note, you know, could have that debate in taxes. We had the full hearing. Chair Runbeck had the hearing. The folks who wanted this provision testified in the hearing. Again, and Representative Davids did not do this bill. So this is not this is not the place for this. So I really believe he would support me if he was here. I can't speak for him. Well,
and Representative Luchesky, as you heard, this is getting laid on the table.
Well, and I heard,
decide
Madam
before
Chair,
Friday what... Well,
I understand, but what I'm trying to say to Representative Gunther is I think if he would not offer the amendment, his bill would pass right now. But the A1 amendment makes it a tax bill, so then now we have to deal with that and has to go back to taxes.
And
so
yeah, we're going to lay the bill on the table, and we're going to start this out. We're not going to waste our time here in committee trying to sort this out. And we'll look for the agenda for Friday, whether or not we'll take it up on Friday.
Will there be the opportunity then for all the testifiers then if we're going to do a tax bill in here on Friday?
Of course.
Okay.
So, and do we have any ETA on Representative Anderson then? Representative Howes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Gunther is leaving the room. I wanted to tell...
Representative Gunther, I think Representative Howes wants to make a comment on House File 1170. Representative Gunther? Representative Howes would like to make a comment on 1170. I wanted to make sure that you were aware of that and listening.
I would always wait for Representative Howes' wisdom to come out of his mouth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Gunther. I'm opposed to this amendment. I don't have enough information with me now, but I will have more on Friday, and I will join Luchesky for different reasons to speak against it. I vaguely remember doing this a few years back. I know I didn't like it then, and I know there was a study done on it not too long ago, and they looked this over, and the study's conclusion was to leave it alone. But there were some people that were within the study, well, let's call it the minority report, that wanted to change it, and now this is really a minority report of a commission that studied the issue. So I'm going to strongly oppose it on Friday.
Send some lobbyists to come see you.
Representative Gunther, my apologies, but I just think it's a better use of committee time to sort this out and take another look at this on Friday, if it's appropriate. We don't have Representative Anderson here, but Representative Beard is chair of the Transportation Committee. I know this bill went through that committee. The bill is also included in the Transportation Omnibus Bill, if my memory serves me right today.
It is.
Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move House File 808 and move it to the General Register.
All right. Thank you, Representative Beard. And is it correct that this bill was included in your omnibus bill and included in the fiscal note for that bill as well?
Yes. Madam Chair and members, it is included in the Transportation and Finance Omnibus Bill.
And members, if you see on the fiscal note, it's a special revenue fund. It's not general fund either. If you'll briefly explain the bill to the committee.
Madam Chair and members, Representative Anderson brought this bill to committee, and just trying to remember quickly, it's a voluntary program that where we direct DVS to create an account. So rather than just put a donor card, donor mark on our driver's license, that we can actually donate $2. Actually, we add $2 to our driver's license fee when we renew it, so it goes into a special fund to help promote the donor program, and that's pretty much the essence of the bill, Madam Chair. DVS is here if you'd like to drag Ms. McCormick down to speak
not,
to it.
May not be necessary. Any questions on House File 808? Seeing none, I believe you can renew your motion.
Madam Chair, members, I renew the motion. House File 808 be recommended to pass and placed on the General Register.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. No. Motion prevails. And I guess at this time we will adjourn and have plenty of time to get ready for caucus at 4:30.
Madam Chair, could I ask a
certainly,
quick
Representative
question?
Carlson.
The other day in taxes, there was a bill before us, and we had some conversation about the budget resolution because the tax committee was already at their budget target. And then, of course, there is potentially some other bills that might come forward. Are we going to be doing any adjustments in the budget resolution, or is it going to stay the way it is? The other big one would be bonding, if something is done there. As you know, that had a negative number under the budget resolution. So there's bonding, there's some interest in the tax committee, at least on the part of the chair, that he sounded like he might want to move a bill or two that had some cost ramifications. So what's down the road?
Well, at the time that the capital investment bill comes through the committee, if it's necessary to amend the budget targets, we will. If it's not, we won't. And I haven't had any conversations with Representative Davids about him wanting to spend more money. So I can't speak to that issue.
We had that discussion in the tax committee the other day. So he hasn't talked to you then, apparently. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Meeting's adjourned.